what the Lord wants them to do and how he equips them to do it. If you got a bulletin, you'll notice on the back of your order of worship, there's sermon notes that are printed out. It's not just a blank sheet today. And the points of the sermon will be up there as well, but you'll notice there's nine things we're going to talk about. And the passage that they're based upon is Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. The Lord gave the Ten Commandments twice to his people. Once was in Exodus 20, when they came out of Egypt, and then when they were ready to cross over into Canaan in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 now follows up on his giving of the Ten Moses' giving of the Ten Commandments once again. I see you're all looking at one. I'll just read through this so we can, then we can get on to the sermon, all right? Lot 1, love your children by loving God. 2, love your children by trusting God. 3, love your children by not exasperating them. 4, love your children by loving your wife. 5, love your children by cheerfully working to meet their physical needs. 6, love your children by being there for them. 7, love your children by training them to be wise, not foolish. 8, love your children by disciplining them firmly and fairly. 9, love your children by delighting in them, enjoying them, but by delighting in them. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's read those first 9 verses. It starts out by referring to the Ten Commandments that he's just read to them. They were as read to them as they were getting ready to cross over into Canaan. Of course, we're headed for heaven, aren't we? So this is for us as we're headed for heaven. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Twice he says, hear, O Israel. The first time he says, be careful to obey all that I've given to you. Until when you enter the land of milk and honey. The second, hear, O Israel. He says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you're to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he gives them these commandments so that they will be on their hearts. That means inside of them, on their mind, that they go over and over them when they think of things. There are to be a guide to them. So fathers are to imply God's word to their own hearts first. And then secondly, they're to impress them on your children. And he lays a lot on fathers here. Constantly, all the time, they're not to let their children get around them, is what he's saying. When you're sitting with them, whatever you're doing with them, be guided by God's word. Don't let them stray from God's word. Now, I enjoy being a father, and I'm grateful to God for the children that he's given us. Arla and I were married, and 10 months later, Joel came along. We really wanted children, and God gave them to us. And we were very thankful for them. But from this passage, we can see that with being a father also comes a great deal of responsibility, doesn't it? And God honors you when he gives you responsibility. It's an honor that he gives this responsibility to you. It isn't given to the church. It's not given to the school system. It's not given to the government. It's given to fathers. They're the main ones. And he wants us to deal with fathers, deal with our own hearts first, and then to deal with our children's hearts. It's not a matter of do as I say, but do as I do and say. What does this passage teach us then? Number one, you love your children by loving God. If you don't love God, you are an obstacle to your children's relationship to God. You can work hard at being a good parent. You can set aside quality time. But if you don't love God, you're an obstacle to your children's relationship to God. The Bible tells us love is the fulfillment of the law. To love them, you need to fulfill the law. On the other hand, if you love the Lord your God with all that's in you, you're going to train your children to follow in the Lord, in the right, in your footsteps. God's word will be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Now, it's difficult being a father, and we get tired, and we get burdened by sin, and we get trapped in our own sin. And Jesus says to us, when that happens, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take these responsibilities I've given upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For these responsibilities are easy and light. In other words, you don't fill these responsibilities. You're asking for more trouble. You're in trouble. Don't get into more trouble, but come to the Lord with your problems. Confess your sin. He'll forgive you your sin and purify you of all unrighteousness. Now, Jesus upgraded this when he said, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But Jesus comes and he sets an example of what this all means. And he says to us, love one another as I have loved you. And when Jesus says that, he is really calling on us to be different from the world, aren't we? Isn't it? We're to be a different kind of father. He tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You're to set your mind then on pleasing your heavenly Father, on what awaits you there, and not get sidetracked by all the things that go on here that you can treasure, can get in your way. You're to love your children then by loving God. And when you do, God blesses you and your children. Secondly, you love your children by trusting God. Trusting God. God has promised to complete the good work that he's begun in you. He won't let you go. He's going to continue the work that he has begun in you. He'll be with you until the end. Quite some time ago, I read a poem. I've never seen it anywhere else. I got this book of poems. They're old poems. And one poem that I remember from that book was called The Washerwoman's Song. And it's a story of it's an old-time story about a widow with a young widow with lots of children having to make a go of it by washing clothes. And these kids are all running around, and it's toilsome work. Didn't have washing machines. This is a matter of scrub board and scrubbing clothes. And you have to scrub a lot of clothes because people didn't pay a lot of money. But there was this friend. She describes all the difficulties that she has, but I have a friend who's with me to the end. We have a friend that's with us to the end that we can trust. He'll be with us to the end. Psalm 125, 1 and 2, God promises, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds those who trust him. He surrounds you. Now, like us, our kids are still a work in progress. Amen? They're still a work in progress, just like us. When our children blow it, don't panic. When we blow it, don't panic. God has his ways, and eventually he gets us to where he wants us to be. He has his plan. That's one of the things I've discovered in retirement. Thinking back, the plans that I made, things that I did that I thought were okay, and they just weren't. But God all the while had a plan, and he's gotten me to where he wants me to be. Trust. You love your children by trusting the Lord. Now, one of the things about God has very high standards for fathers. He says in Matthew 5:28, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He won't be satisfied with us as fathers until we're perfect like our Father in heaven. But in the meantime, he knows our weaknesses, and he's pleased with every sign of progress in us. Now, that's God's attitude towards us, and it should be ours. We shouldn't get down. We shouldn't get depressed. When we do get depressed, what should we say? David said this. Now, talking to him, said, now hope in God, now hope in God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Now hope in God, now hope in God. He will continue the good work he's begun in you. We shouldn't be overwhelmed then. We shouldn't become angry. We shouldn't panic. We have a friend who is with us to the end. He is faithful and just and forgives us of all our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You love your children by trusting God. Three, you love your children when you don't exasperate them. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. What you say and do, what we say and do as fathers has a strong effect on our children. If you're thoughtful and kind, your children will imitate you. You'll be a good example. Give them a good example to imitate. You encourage their hearts. If you're selfish and nasty and angry and abusive towards them, it'll be like father, like son. In fact, the Bible says it's going to be worse than that. When you sow the wind, you reap the tornado. You sow trouble and you get the whirlwind. We want then to seek God's wisdom. And by wisdom, we're told in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. In other words, deal with yourself. Live wisely and your household will prosper. You love your children when you don't exasperate them. And that means be an example to them of humility. When you're wrong, repent of it. Let them know that you're wrong. Be humble before God. Let them see God correcting you. If they see God correcting you, that's a powerful sermon, isn't it? Encouraging them to let God correct you. Because when you let God correct you, he blesses you, and they're going to see the Lord blessing you. And that's a good path for them to see and to be on. Fourth, you love your children by loving your wife. The best environment for raising children is a healthy marriage. It's not living in the suburbs. That's not the best environment. I run into all sorts of people that think living here, living there, that's what's needed. One time we were driving back. I've just been to California. We went to California for a family wedding. And driving back, we're driving down up this road. We're going this road, and it's in Wyoming. And this main highway becomes a dirt road. And I can't imagine, it actually did. It became a dirt road. Shocked me to no end. And we thought, and it's getting dark, and we said, where are we going to sleep tonight? So we see this trailer park over here. And we go there, and they're not really into the campers like we had. They're used for these vehicles that have toilets and all that sort of thing in them. But he sees we're in a fix, and he lets us park our little pop-up trailer there. And then we, in chatting, discovered that he was there because he was there in that remote corner because he was trying to get out of a bad situation of drugs back in Virginia, but he found it there. We can't escape to the suburbs, but we can provide a healthy home, and we can work on our marriage. A friend of mine told me one time that he'd never seen his parents kiss. That blew my mind. But it reflected. He struggled with some things because of it. Children need to grow in a loving home. And it just tears my heart out to see in our country just how easy divorce comes, because divorce just works against that. Divorce is harder on children than I think there's more problems from divorce in our country than there is with physical abuse that we're so upset about these days. And I don't downplay it, but nevertheless, I want to call attention to the fact that we want to work as a community at helping each other with loving homes. And fathers, we do our children, they're trained so they understand how to live as married people when they grow in a loving home. So if you want your children to have happy marriages, you do them a big favor when you work hard at your marriage and you love your children by loving your wife. Five, if you love your children by cheerfully working, you love your children by cheerfully working to meet their physical needs. The list is long of fathers that have run, and it's quite a challenge to catch up with them, to get them to support. Now, the Lord says that we should. As fathers, we should provide for our children. There's a passage in Scripture that says, 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, this means really working hard sometimes. It means sometimes working two jobs. And the thing about working and supply and supporting our family, we need to deny ourselves, to be sure. But we should do it cheerfully. It's our job to provide for the physical needs of our family. Our children are going to grow in height, but we want them to grow in favor with God and with man. We want to provide a good environment and provide them with the daily things that they need. We're to live a life of love just as Christ lived a life of love. Love your children by cheerfully working to meet their physical needs. 6, you love your children by being there for them. I don't know if there's any truer statement than this. Loving takes time. Loving takes time. We're well on our way toward loving our children just by being there with them, spending time with them, eating together, having family devotions. Yeah, working together, involving them in working together. Do these things and your children will look back and they'll treasure them when they're grown. You have prepared them for life. Relax together, but spend time with them. In fact, you don't have to do anything at all except to be there. They like being alone sometimes, but it's like they like having you there as well. They may not need you at the moment, but they know that you're there if they do need you. Now, the other side of this, if you're not there consistently with them, if you're constantly away from your children, the time you do squeeze in isn't going to amount to a whole lot. God's word says in Proverbs 27, verse 8, like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Absentee parenting doesn't work. I hear parents have different reactions whenever school is over in the summer, in the spring and summer, and there's these months ahead. And some parents just dread these weeks, these times. Others look upon it as a challenge. And the kids, of course, they're just all for it, but this is a wonderful time. You're not fighting with them to get to school. It's special time that you can have with them to focus on things that you can't focus on in school because all that schoolwork that is there with them. There's times that you can work with them on different projects. There's times when you can go and do things with them. They're not at school. There's time you can be with them more. So look upon summer, pray about that in your attitude, but look at things to do and look upon this as a time that you can have extra time to spend with your children. Love your children, it's number 7, by training them to be wise, not foolish. Now, training them to be wise is training them in the Lord's ways. Training to be foolish is to ignore God and go over and over things that ignore God. Training is the idea of going over and over and over things. I never cease to be amazed at our professional athletes. They're so painstaking in practicing, going over and over and over things about all the details, nuances of the different sports that we have. But that's what training is, going over and over things, and that's what reflected on our text. All the time we're to be going over and over things with our children, training them in the Lord's way. And one of the wonderful things about the Bible is it's such a diverse book. It trains us, but it isn't just the same thing over and over again. There's different situations. And that's what it is with professional athletes. There's all these different situations that can occur that they prepare for. There's all sorts of situations in life that we want to apply principles to so they can see how they apply to that situation. And we want to see these principles that show how teach them how to love the Lord, to follow His way, to live righteous lives. A good verse to meditate on is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't see where things are going, but God's word shows me where to step. I can barely see the path. I know the path leads to heaven. I know what the Lord wants me to do, and that shows me where to step. And so I need to constantly teach them to keep God's commands. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be paralyzed by the evil that's out there. Don't be paralyzed by all the threatening situations out there. Don't be anxious about them. But make the most of every opportunity to show them the way. God's word is sufficient. The answers are there for you and for them. Love your children by training them to be wise, not foolish. And that word that I like so well in our text is the word impress. I hope you'll go leave here remembering that word, impress. Impress it upon them. Doesn't say beat them over the head and bludgeon them, but impress on it. That has the idea of their accepting it. And that, keep after it, but in a way that it's accepting, that it's sensitive to them. Impress it on them all the time. One thing we don't want to do is we don't want to allow our children to choose their own path. The Bible tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So we don't want to let them choose their own path. We don't love them when you let them choose their own path. And you see, the huge responsibilities that fathers have. The children aren't to choose their own path, neither is anybody else. It's the responsibility of the fathers. Don't abandon them to their friends. And that's one that can happen. They hang out with their friends and their friends wind up raising them and their friends are just as foolish as they are. We don't want to let our children raise themselves. 2 Timothy verses 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us God's word is adequate. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. That means tell them the stories in the Bible. There's these principles, these commandments, they're how they work out. There's stories in the Bible. But go beyond that and tell them about, share your life with them. Your mistakes, how you learn things. They're going to have some hard experiences too, and it's nothing better than hearing it from you. Love your children by teaching them to be wise then, not foolish. 8, love your children by disciplining them firmly and fairly. Firmly. Discipline is not something that children like. But it needs to be. It can't just be a pat on the hand all the time. It needs to get the point across. You need to spank them till they're sweet. You don't just do that. You need to spank them until they understand they better not do that again. When they're young, my own experience has been spanking really takes care of things because you and they there. It is a very helpful thing to do because it's done, it's over with. But as they get older, your goal is that you'll be corrected by a word. And so then it changes. There's this change that takes place so that they then learn to listen to God's word and be corrected themselves when you speak to them. Again, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. The Bible approves of and recommends spanking. And God even says it's abusive not to punish your children. Discipline your children. Proverbs 19:18. This includes more than just spanking. Discipline your son, says Proverbs, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. And then again with the rod. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Firmly. It needs to be firm. It needs to be consistent. And I think it's helpful when children know if they do such and such, and it's a habit that you're working on, that if they do such and such, automatically they're going to get such and such. That there's firmly, and that's also fairly. We're not to make our children bitter by the way we punish them. I remember seeing somebody punish their high school student. And it was a stick, and they kept beating his hands, just standing there beating him. And it seemed to me that would have made me mad and bitter. But the crime needs to fit, and you don't want to abuse your children. You need to punish them fairly. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. It's important that you discipline your child. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. That's God's promise. Trust his promise. Discipline your children. Love your children by disciplining them. And finally, love your children by delighting in them. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. They're to be cherished. They're a gift. They're a reward from God. And your children can tell whether you love them, whether you regard them as a gift, or whether they're just having them as a chore. You want to delight in their smiles, all their achievements, all the things that they do, their uniqueness especially. The children are all so different. And there's something very specially good about each one of them. And we want to delight in that specialness about each person. God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. He made every child for a purpose. He created them a certain way to be a blessing. And they are blessings in a certain way. And we want to cherish that and enjoy that and encourage that in them. As Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. We want then to train our children, to love our children, to train them so that we delight in them and have joy in them. Whatever you do, love your children by taking great delight in them. Fathers, love your children. That means be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Have high standards for them. High standards for yourself of loving them. Pray much. Seek the Lord for forgiveness. And you can't erase the past. It's done, it's done. But you can seek God's forgiveness, and he promises then to purify you from all unrighteousness. You can go on. And when your children do things that upset you, just remember how upset the Heavenly Father has been with us sometimes and what we've done. But he continues to love us. Be perfect then in loving the way the Heavenly Father loves. He never lets us go. We're always His. Shepherd their hearts. That's another way just to summarize what we've been talking about. Shepherd their hearts. They're lambs. They're sheep. They need to be led. And there's all sorts of complications. But shepherd their hearts, remembering that you have a great shepherd who's shepherding you, and you shepherd their hearts the way He has been shepherding you. So he's training you all the time so you can shepherd them. One of the goals that I was concerned about is that my children would do better than I did. I looked at things that I'd done, and my children would do better than I did. God had forgiven me, right? And He was working in me. There's no point in dwelling on what I should have, would have, or could have, and didn't do, all of that. But just love them, remembering how God has loved you. And love them the way, remember, how Christ has loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. That means sacrificially. You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your money. You give of yourself. And you keep on giving and giving and giving. God's love, there's no bottom to it, and His love is in us. And He gives us the gift of being able to keep on giving. We love, don't we, because He first loved us. And His love never fails us. And so our love then can be constant and consistent and can be never failing love as well. Fathers, love your children. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the responsibility You've given us, and we thank You that You equip us for this. And Lord, we know that there's much that we don't know, but Your grace is sufficient. Help us then we pray that You will bless all of our efforts with our children. And help us to continue to pray for them until Jesus calls us home. Help us, O Lord, to continue to love them the way Your Heavenly Father loves us on this earth until He calls us home. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, let's stand as we sing together. More love to Thee, O Lord, number 649. More love.